Well, good morning, church family. How's everyone doing this morning? Great to see y'all. We have some guests from Florida with us. Carl and Peggy Johnson, where did y'all land? They left. Oh, there they are. Everybody that knows them, be sure to welcome them this morning. And everybody else, you're welcome. Welcome you as well. Welcome those who are online this morning. VBS starts tonight. We're really excited about that. Have some really awesome decorations on the stage. Let's give a hand for Carlene and Teresa and Linda and the team. And this is a functioning train. It actually works over here. Steve McCarn put that together. So looking forward to, go ahead and give Steve a hand up. He and Cindy are very, very much a part of what goes on around here in regard to VBS. I was thinking about the attributes of God this morning, and one that we might not think about often is that God is a rewarder. Have you thought about that? He's a rewarder. Let me read Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there may be something tied to God giving us things he wants us to receive. You know, I've got a credit card that I use for paying bills and other things, and I pay the balance off at the end of the month, and there are rewards attached to this card. And if I don't use the card, I don't get the rewards. And so it's almost like it's contingent on us receiving what God has for us if we seek him, and not just seek him, but seek him diligently. Can we do that this morning, church? Can we make an attempt just to see what God has for us? Let's go to the Lord. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are a rewarder of those who earnestly seek you, that diligently seek you. And God, I've just got to imagine you've got good gifts for us. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. They're good and they're perfect, just what we need. And Lord, I don't want to miss out on what you have for me this morning. And so, Father, I just pray that that's the heart of this congregation, Lord, that we're just open to what you have for us, what you want us to receive. And Lord, we just want to bless your heart this morning as we worship you and as we pursue you. And we love you for who you are, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe we're ready to stand and worship. Let's stand and pursue the Lord this morning.
I can't count the times I've called your name some broken night, and you showed up to patch me up like you do every time. I get amnesia, I forget that you keep coming around. Yeah, ain't no way you'll ever let me down. Good God Almighty, I hope you find me. With your name, I'll tire what comes. Cause I know where I'd be without your mind. A good God Almighty. You say your love goes on forever, that your mercy never stops. So why would I assume you'd be somebody that you're not? Sun in the morning, I know you're gonna be there every day. So what on earth could make me be afraid? Good God Almighty. Is he good?
He's good.
Tell me, is he God?
He's God.
when the sun goes down. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down.
Amen. Close enough. Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters and to mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Remember your people.
So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God.
Sing that again.
Oh.
Amen.
it's time for children's sermon? Well, come on now, kids. It's time for children's sermon. What are y'all waiting for?
Trust in you, Jesus. You're all, you're all, you're all that we need. Your power will pull us through. We're trusting in you. We're trusting in you. You give us
hope. All right. What do y'all think of our Rocky Mountain? All right. You don't see the Rocky Mountains? We have a train, we have lion, we have a ram, and we have a fish. It's going to be fun. That's right. Are you excited about VBS? Who's all going to come to VBS this week?
Yeah.
Yay! I'm excited, and it's okay. Yeah. So let's imagine for just a moment that we're on a journey in a steam train, going through the wild, beautiful, vast Rocky Mountains. So you're up and down around the curves. Would you like to do that someday?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? So, yeah.
I'd like to do that.
Oh. Yeah. So steam trains get their power from the steam engine, right? You see all that smoke coming up, and that's all that steam, and they're making it go and work and everything. But a steam engine is a lot like a tea kettle. Now, did you ever thought about that? Just a minute, okay? Have you ever had a tea kettle at your house and you boil the water and the steam comes out? Well, a tea kettle is pretty small compared to a steam engine, right? But it gets really hot and it makes all that smoke and it just blows and it gives you power. Well, inventors a long time ago figured out how to capture the steam and turn it into power, enough power to pull a train. Can you imagine pulling a train through all those Rocky Mountains? It's not like in Texas, it's not like where we're just kind of flat, right? It's up hills and down and all around. So you have to have lots of power to pull it through. And that train is not just one car. It's got lots of cars. It's pulling people and cargo all through the Rocky Mountains. Do you think it works really hard? Yeah, it needs lots of power, right? So do we need power? Do we have a steam engine? Do we boil and make smoke and... Yeah, you think we do? Well, that's right. But you know what we do have? We do have power. And do you know where that power comes from? Huh? Food. It comes from food. But no, we have a power inside of us. Do you know where that power comes from? God. That's right. We have God power. He pulls us through everything. Is God with us? Does he need to be with us?
Yes.
Does he need to pull us through?
Yes.
Does he need to help us?
Yes.
Do you ever ask for God to help you?
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, God's power is with us all the time. You know, God has more power than anything. Is God more powerful than anything?
Yes.
God has power to create the mountains and the oceans just by speaking. You know, God said, let there be mountains, and there's mountains. Is that powerful? Uh-huh. And he said, let there be oceans. Was that powerful? Yeah, and God has the power to love, forgive, and heal, and comfort us. And then God gave us his son, Jesus. And Jesus has that power too. And we can trust in God and Jesus, can't we? Just a minute, okay? We can trust in God. Do we trust in God and Jesus? Yes? Say that. Say yes. Okay. So we have Jesus' power in us to help us every day, no matter what is going on. Whether we're having a hard day or a good day or an amazing day or just really not sure what's going on, God has given us Jesus' power in us to make it through everything. So when we can just say, I trust Jesus. So I want y'all to say with me, trust Jesus. Okay, say it really loud. Trust Jesus. That's right. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all this by the power of Christ. God gives us his power to live each day for him. Can y'all remember that this week?
Yes.
All right. All right. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us. Just bless us and watch us over us through this day. And I pray that as we get ready for this journey on VBS, Lord, that you will just give us wisdom and direction and that the kids will be excited and that we will grow and learn about you, Lord. And we thank you for the kids and the families that are coming and for the kids and their families that are here today, Lord. We just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go. Yes, Mr. Drew.
Good morning, church. I love this this setup up here. Dennis, can you zoom in on the little fishy down here? Somebody wake Dennis up. Just nudge him.
He's working on it.
See if you can get down there. Anyway, while he's finding that, I was looking at the stage and I was looking, this little fish caught my eye. And I was thinking about my backpacking days. Cheryl and I went backpacking many times back in the day. And there it is, little trout. And I like to trout fish. Anybody ever fly fish? You ever fly fish? That's a lot of fun. And I was taught Cheryl how to fly fish one year. And you know, when you fly fish, you kind of, the line gets out there quite a bit and everything. So I was showed her how to do it and was standing back. And next thing I know, she goes to cast and I went, whoa, caught me in the ear. True story. So sure, if you need some fly fishing experience, don't ask my wife. She does a lot of things well, but not fly fishing. All right, a couple of things before we go into the Lord in prayer this morning. First of all, we will not have Wednesday night this week with all of the Vacation Bible School that's going on. Your bulletin says we will. That's miscommunication. We didn't get that right, so ignore that. There will be no meal and Wednesday night activities this week. Also, just want to encourage you, if you have not signed up your children, grandchildren, neighbors, whoever, for Vacation Bible School, it's not too late. Tonight at 5:30, we'll have family night, and tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday, we will have from 9 to 12 the activities. So hope that you will still come and be a part of that and bring the kiddos. We got tons of them. I don't know, does anybody know how many we got? Billy, is Billy over there? Anybody know? 210 plus, 200 and, huh? 216 as of this morning. Couple. Yeah, we got a couple of kids. It's really a lot of fun. It's a lot of, yes. Carlene, Teresa, and Linda and crew have done an amazing job. This morning, I'm gonna throw a curve at you this morning. I hope, are you okay? Can you catch a curveball this morning? We say on most Sundays, we say the Apostles' Creed and have for many years. And this creed is an ancient creed. They call it the Apostles' Creed because it's attributed to the early apostles, probably written in the first or second century. And language has changed a lot. In most Sundays, we will make a reference to. There's two words in the creed that people we don't use today in the same way they did back then. And the first one is we say the quick and the dead, that Jesus will come return again and he will judge the quick and the dead. Well, we don't really know what that means. So what it means is the living and the dead, that God will be the judge of that. And there's another word that we typically try to explain, and it says that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. And there's two sides of this to help explain that. There are people, many in this room probably, come from the Roman Catholic tradition and certainly don't want to be offensive in any way to people from that tradition. But also there's people that come from Christian traditions or maybe even weren't in church growing up that don't understand that. Come to me and ask me, what's the deal? We're not Roman Catholic. Why aren't we saying that? And if you'll even in our bullet in our hymnal, page 881, if you want to look it up in our hymnal, it recites the Apostles' Creed there, and it has two asterisks beside that word Catholic. And if you go down, and it has a little notation that says universal. So I want us to stop having to explain that all the time. Is that okay? Can we do that? And by the way, this is not the Apostles' Creed is a consolidation of the faith that unites us. It's not Scripture. Okay, that's important to know. It's not Scripture. And even with Scripture, we have the King James Version. We don't talk like that anymore. There's nothing wrong with the King James Version if you like to read that. But we don't talketh like that anymore. And so it's nothing wrong with that. It's just not modern English. And so sometimes we just have to modernize our language so that we all are on the same page. So this morning, I want to invite you to stand. We're going to say the Apostles' Creed, and we're going to insert the word living instead of quick, and we're going to insert the word universal instead of Catholic. And hopefully that will help us as we move forward. We won't have to explain that all the time. All right, let's recite this wonderful creed together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the living. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. You know, habits are hard to break, aren't they? Even for me. We want to, I really feel led this morning to pray over our children. You know, a couple of things with Vacation Bible School. How many of you went to Vacation Bible School as a child and felt like it had an impact in your life? Lots of hands going up. Lots of hands going up. You know, one of the things that my goal, I want the kids to know that being a Christian is fun. I think that's important that we don't, the kids don't feel like, well, you got to be solemn all the time. I think Jesus had fun. Can you imagine Jesus hanging out with 12 knucklehead guys? I mean, you know, some of the stuff that they probably did. And we're getting ready to do Promise Keepers coming up here. And man, what happens on Promise Keepers stays on Promise Keepers, by the way. I want the kids to have fun. I want them to know that they are indeed treasured by their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I just want to pray into that this morning. So if you'll just bow with me. Father, we are thankful for our children. And I'm also, Lord, mindful and thankful for the servants that you have raised up to serve our children, not only this week, but all the time. We have so many people in our church that love on our children. Lord, first of all, I pray, God, in West Texas, we don't like to pray against rain, but I'd ask you to hold the rain off until Wednesday afternoon, Lord, so that the kids can enjoy nature and the outdoors. Lord, I pray that keep the children safe as they come, and may you penetrate deep in their spirit how much you love them, how much you love them. And I'm reminded, Jesus, that the little children were coming and wanting to crawl up in your lap and take up your time, and the disciples saw that as a nuisance, and they were trying to shush the children away. And you said, let the little children come to me. You have a heart for the children. You have a heart for us. So may this week be a transformative week, not just for the children, but also for those who serve, for parents and grandparents and servants. Lord, we pray that in the midst of it all, your name would be high and lifted up. We love you and we need you. And you are indeed the power that sees us through everything we face. You are the power that sees us through. And so we trust you. Lord, bless us, and we pray now the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Y'all can just stay seated for a minute. I never asked Jeff permission if I can say something. I just say it. I hope that's okay, Jeff. I have a vacation Bible school story. When you said that, you know, I was thinking the next psalm we're going to sing is Blessed Assurance. You know, the chorus goes, "This is my story." I'd like to tell you my story real quick about vacation Bible school. When I was, I think, 11 years old, I started before then, but I had a huge stuttering problem. It was horrible. And my dad tried to help me. He was no help. In fact, I think he hindered me. He loved me so much. He wanted to help me, but I think it just made things worse. And so I struggled with it. And then my mom asked me to help with Vacation Bible School. So I was a helper. I was young, but I was going to help. And so that year we made puppets, and they were nothing but a sock shape, and they had ears. And so mine was brown, nothing special. I put yellow eyes on it, a brown nose, and a little mustache. And then I would put my pinky in his ear so it could wink. And it could smile. It could do all kinds of things. And so I played with that puppet. I water skied with it. I ate with it. It went. We drove 45 minutes to church. And that puppet would entertain my whole family the whole 45 minutes there and back. They must have really loved me because they laughed at all my jokes and played with my sister was 3 years older, and that puppet was, she preferred the puppet over me. Puppet's name was Dummy. And so I played with it for years. I don't know how long I played with it. I know I played with it until I was about a freshman in high school. I played with that puppet. It was part of me. And so we're going to church one day. And I got the puppet. I'm playing with it. I don't say much anymore. And my dad looks at my mother and he goes, "You know, he never stutters when he plays with the puppet." And I never noticed. And so that's when I turned the corner. I stopped stuttering. How about that for a VBS story? Vacation Bible school is important, so hats off to Carlene and Teresa and everybody that helps for Vacation Bible School, because it does make a difference. I'm living proof. Let's all stand. We've all got a story. I'm just blessed enough that I get a platform to share mine. But you can share yours with other people. People love to hear your story. Especially when it's about the grace and love of Jesus. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. My Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praise my Savior all the day long. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that tore my heart to feed, and grace my good to us, Jesus.
Well, once again, good morning, and welcome also to our live stream audience. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place, and as Billy normally does our prayer time and invites you to worship through your offering as well, and I messed up and didn't do that, Billy. You're supposed to, like, flag me down or something. So the offering plates are up here if you'd like to drop off your offering there. And also online, you can give to our online giving. If you are our guest this morning, we're especially glad that you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. There is a card in the pocket in front of you here in the sanctuary that's got a blue stripe that says guests, and would love to know who you are and would love to meet you. If you are visiting with us this morning, I'll be out in the foyer after the service down at that end and would love to get to know you. Have a gift for you. And I should tell you, we also, Ryland, you ready, buddy? We're going to do it at the end of the service. Ryland Loudermilk is getting baptized today. Been looking forward to that all week, my friend. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Beginning in verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start a series today, a sermon series called Overcomer. We're going to be walking through some different Old Testament characters the next several weeks. Today's message is Abraham overcoming fear of the unknown. Overcoming fear of the unknown. Probably that's not a problem for anybody in this room, being fearful of the unknown. Several years ago, my brother and I went fishing. Anybody ever been tank fishing? Like tank fishing? My cousin down, I was born in Winters, down by Winters. My cousin had a tank, and you know, these that he had built for his livestock, and he had stocked it with lots of fish. And Jay and I went down to go fishing. And those stock tanks, this particular one especially, they, you know, they dig them and they kind of leave this kind of dam at one end that's, you know, the where the water, it stops the water. And this particular dam, you could drive over this dam. And we were just going to do some bank fishing. We didn't have a boat or anything. So we were driving across this dam, and there's this big, humongous tree planted on the bank of this tank. And we got this old, raggedy old pickup, and we pull across the dam, and we park under this tree. And this was an old pickup my brother had, and it was one of those pickups that when you open the door, is kind of in the 70s type model, and you open the door and you go, you know, how many of you have owned a pickup like that? I've had a pickup like that. And we opened the door, and when that door went, I know I'm prone to exaggeration. Thank you, whoever said no. Debbie, see there? Thank you, Debbie. But hundreds of water moccasins jumped out of this tree into the water. Not a few, not a dozen, not a few dozen, hundreds. And this tree was all up over our pickup and all up over the bank and into the tank. And these water mosses, they heard that door squeaking and they just dove into the water. And I just want to tell you, the rest of the day, I'm fishing like this. That's how I was fishing. And then, and I think they all jumped in the water because I didn't see any more in the tree the rest of the day. But, man, I was no longer interested in fishing. I just wanted to get out alive. This is a true story. So we're fishing, and one of us, I don't remember who, one of us had caught a fish, and we put it on a stringer, and we had it laid over there. And I'm not kidding you, this snake, we see this snake coming up towards us, and he pops his head up, and it's like he's looking around, like, oh, I'm checking out. And I said, that snake's fixing to go for that fish. And my brother says, that fish is too big for that snake. He's not. And all of a sudden, whop, he went onto that fish and the fight was on. Anyway, from that moment forward to today, I don't like snakes. So as we think about fear of the unknown, what's out there, many times it's what's back there that's fueling the fear about what's out there. Yes? And so, I'm not crazy about snakes to this day, and I really don't know how I felt about snakes before that moment. I don't think I was that crazy about them, but it's a whole different ballgame for me now. Jesus cares about the impact that fear has in our lives. Did you know that? He talks about it all the time in Scripture. 125 commands that come out of the mouth of Jesus in the New Testament that are recorded. Out of 125 exhortations from the Lord, 21 of those have to do with fear. That's a pretty high percentage of the things that Jesus commanded us to do. And the things like do not fear, have courage, take heart. I mean, he's constantly telling us to not fear. Jesus cares about the impact fear has in our lives. And if we're truthful, I don't know, maybe I'll just speak for myself. Man, the fear of the unknown, it's a real thing, especially these times that we're living in. It's like, what's coming? What's becoming of our nation? What's becoming of our culture? Anybody else having those thoughts? Jesus doesn't want us to live there. I mean, it's okay to be concerned and be prayerful and so forth about those things, but he doesn't want us to live in fear of the unknown. So we're going to, as we talk today, we're going to look, and there's a lot with Abram, who became Abraham. There's a lot in his life, and we're going to hit some of it, some of the high points. But if you read through from like Genesis 12 all the way, you know, it's going to be into the 20s. And you're going to hear so much more about Abram and Abraham. The first thing is, many times God asks us to follow him into the unknown. It's, you know, as we talk about that word faith, if things were guaranteed, it wouldn't be faith. If we knew exactly what was going to happen tomorrow, we wouldn't have to have faith and trust in God for tomorrow, yeah? I don't have the exact passage, but where it says that the Lord is a lamp unto my feet, and I envision, he's not this spotlight that shines out, you know, 100 yards. No, he's this lamp, and as you're holding a lamp, it gives you this light to take the next step. Yes? That's faith. God asks us to follow him into the unknown, because he wants us to trust him. He wants us to know that he is trustworthy. This Abraham, God said, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household, and go to the land I show you. So let's think about that for a second. So Abraham's settled in. He's living with his family, not just his immediate family, but his extended family, mom and dad, and probably brothers and sisters, and all sorts of people that he's living with, and there's a comfort there. And God's saying, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household, all these relationships that you have, and go where I show you. And oh, by the way, I'm not telling you where that is. Has God ever asked something like that of you? I want you to take this step because you trust me, because you know that I'm asking you to do that, but I'm not really going to tell you how it's going to work out. And y'all have heard me talk, and I won't belabor that, but you've heard me talk about my journey from the computer world into the ministry, and it's like God didn't say how all that was going to work out for us. It was a scary time, and Cheryl and I just had to trust him. We felt so strongly that God was saying to do it, and we just had to step and trust him. Jesus with his disciples, he says to the disciples, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. He didn't say how all that was going to work out. He didn't say what that all meant. He just said, hey, follow me. And you're going to see some extraordinary things. Come follow me. And they dropped their nets and left. Hebrews 11 defines faith for us. I love this definition. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. That's faith. Faith is not being certain. Many times God asks us to follow him into the unknown. And here, I'm kind of getting a little bit ahead here, but here's the deal. God is always faithful. If he prompts you to do it, he's always faithful. And he wants good things for you. Sometimes we don't respond in faith. We respond in fear. Secondly, leads me to this point. Things usually don't go well when we respond out of fear. And if you look at Abraham's life, so God gave him this promise. He said, you know, I'm going to make you this great nation through your lineage, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless everyone through this. And he lays it out there, and Abraham had the courage to follow him, but along the way he made a couple of missteps. Genesis 12 and 20, two different times. I love this, that they're going into a new country, and Abraham tells Sarah, his wife, hey, tell everybody you're my sister. Because I'm afraid if you tell my wife, they'll kill me because she was beautiful. And it's like, they'll kill me to get to you. So just tell them you're my sister. That's not a threat. So he did that twice. In both instances, God was not pleased. And really kind of took it out on the people who took her in as their wives, these nations. So there's that. And then probably the biggest point that I really think that Abraham reacted out of fear rather than faith was Ishmael. So God has promised him through Sarah that he was going to create this mighty nation, and he knows, and Sarah is, when it finally happened, Sarah was 90 years old. She was past childbearing years, but yet God said it was going to happen, and Abraham had been had trusted God enough to go. And but this was about 11 years after God made covenant with Abraham, and he left. 11 years later, it still hadn't happened. Is that touching anybody besides me? It's like sometimes God's got his timing, and it's not our timing. So 11 years into the covenant that God had made with Abraham, he was, and Abraham at this point was 86 years old. You can find that in Genesis 16. And Sarah, she also is beginning to doubt. It's like, hey, I'm not getting younger. This isn't going to happen. So take my maidservant and sleep with her. Let's have a child through her, and that will be this nation that God has promised, this lineage that God has promised. And Abraham agrees to that. Ishmael is born, and it doesn't go well. And guess what? To this day, it doesn't go well. Do you know that all the Middle East conflict that we read about, do you know it can go back to this moment right here? Because you got, and it said, God says, okay, I'm going to grant you a child through this maidservant, Hagar, and here's the way he describes Ishmael. He said, he's going to be a wild donkey of a man. And he's going to be at odds with all kinds of people. He ain't going to get along with nobody. But I'm going to grant this. So Ishmael was born. Abraham was 86. 11 years into the covenant, and the world is still paying the price for that disobedience today. Things don't go well when we act out of fear. Leads me to this, third point. God always comes through when we trust Him and respond in faith. Now, there's a passage I'm trying to remember. Somebody smarter than me, remind me. There's a passage in the New Testament. I think it's in Romans. No, it's Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, as I recall. And he's talking about all these great men and women of the faith. And it's saying how with Abraham, he's saying that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so all these different people, and it goes on to say that all these different people that God made promises to, the promises weren't fulfilled when they died. They were fulfilled later. And you can go through the list. You know, David and Abraham, just the whole list of the people that God made promises to, they were fulfilled after they died. But in no instance did God make a promise and it didn't happen. God always comes through when we trust Him and respond in faith. And again, with mine and Cheryl's story, I've told you all this, and I get emotional when I think about it too long, but you guys, this church, is the answer to God's promise to us. He promised, man, you guys surrender your life, and I'm going to provide you a church where you can do ministry and so forth. While I'm at this church, that's you. You're the answer to God's promise to me and to Cheryl. So what did he, look here, what did he promise Abraham? I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and will curse those who curse you, which, by the way, is why we need to support Israel. Because God said, do it. Bless this nation. This is the covenant I've made. And if we don't, if our nation, if the United States, and this is not political, this is spiritual. If the United States pulls away from our blessing of Israel, it's not going to end good. I'm just telling you. God said it. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And then he goes on to say, all people will be blessed through you. And ultimately, that was Isaac, which led to Jesus. That's the promise. Jesus was the accumulation. He was the consummation of these promises that God had made to Abraham and to us. So how did Abraham respond? He packed up and moved at 75. God provided an heir when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. That's, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a miracle to me. And then later we find in Genesis 22, this son who God has said, this son Isaac, he's the heir that I'm talking about. He's the promise. The fulfillment of my promise to you, and through his lineage is going to come blessing. Is basically going to come Jesus. And then we find in Genesis chapter 22, God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about. Early the next morning, listen to this. So it doesn't record any kind of questioning. Abraham to go, wait, God, wait. Isn't Isaac the one you promised that you'd build this nation through? It just says the very next verse, early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac, and they headed to the mountain. And we all know how that story comes about. He's got Isaac laid out on the altar. He's tied up. He's got the wood. And he's raising the knife to sacrifice him. And God says, hold up. I just wanted to see if you really were serious about this. And there's a ram caught by the horns in the bushes. God didn't ask Abraham to do something that he was going to do himself. Sacrifice his one and only son for us. So here's the goal as we think about this overcoming fear of the unknown. The goal, church, and this is really an important sentence right here. Listen to what I'm fixing to say. The goal is not to fear less. The goal is to trust God more. Hello? Anybody listening? I mean, because I'm telling you, things come at us, things come at us that get our attention. So it's not to try to eliminate, it's not to go block ourselves in a room and not, you know, just not know what's going on, totally isolate ourselves. That's not the answer. The answer is to trust God more. And we call that faith. And too many times we react. Fear is an emotion. And faith, if you can picture with me, faith is grounded on this steadfast foundation, this solid foundation of Jesus Christ. I tell people all the time that are struggling with something, and maybe they're struggling with how God feels about them, and I'm like, God's already made that clear. You don't have to struggle with that. God's made it clear how he feels about you because he sent Jesus to die on a cross because he loves you. That's good evidence. And so faith is on this foundation of the love of Christ through the cross. Fear is based on, instead of having a solid foundation, it's this, emotion. It ebbs and flows how we're feeling, but feelings are nothing to put our, to be grounded in. One of the, just like the snakes jumping out of the tree, that fear, I'm not really fearful of snakes. I just don't like them. Okay? But that thought and that, and okay, I'll call it fear. That fear of snakes is rooted in the past, rooted in that past experience. But just like that, we can't remember God's faith. If you can't remember God's faithfulness in your past, you will not trust him for the future. Hang on just a second. Got to get my brain wired that way. The passage where God is bringing the nation of Israel into the promised land. It's in Joshua. And he parts the River Jordan. And as they take the ark out, where God has, and it had, you know, it was high season, the water's up and it's going to be muddy and all that, but the priest walked the Ark of the Covenant out there into, and they don't bog down in the mud, they're walking on solid ground, and the nation of Israel crosses, and God instructs them, once for every tribe, for every 12 tribes, he wanted them to erect these stones, these standing stones, that would they would remember what God had done. And so I guess I would ask you that, what are the standing stones in your life where you can look back and go, you know what? God was faithful to me in that moment. I know he loves me, and he'll be faithful in the future. He'll be faithful with what's to come, not only with what has been, but what is to come. If you can't remember God's faithfulness in your past, you're probably not going to trust him for the future. Genesis 15, and this is recorded several times in Scripture. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Just faith. He trusted him, and God always comes through. So what is God asking you to trust him with today? Just in your own heart, just your own mind, I know the Lord's probably prompting. It may be some relationships. Again, I've 2 weeks in a row that I haven't gotten permission to share this, but I think it's okay. I shared last week about Cheryl's brother Mike. So I just want to tell you, and I know many of you have asked about Mike, and many of you are praying for Mike and Cheryl, I'm going to put most emphasis on Cheryl, and many others have been praying for Mike for several years. Good things are happening in Mike's life. He's not there yet. He's not completely turned the tide, but good things. He's making good decisions in the last week. And that's something that hasn't happened in a long time. And I know that Cheryl has been praying diligently for her brother for many years. And I think the faith's I think it's paying off, Cheryl. I think it's paying off. God's brought a lot of circumstances and a lot of people into Mike's life that are, I think, turning the tide. So who is God, who or what is God asking you to trust him with today? He's good for it. God wants good things for you. I just ask you to bow your heads with me. Father, thank you that you are a good God. You are trustworthy. You are faithful. And you just ask us to trust you and to be faithful in return. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing and all that you will do in our lives. Thank you for the faithfulness of Abraham, and may we trust you, and may it be credited to us as righteousness. Remind us of those times that you have been faithful to us. May we, in our own hearts, our own minds, may we stand up stones that we can look at and remember, God did that. I trusted him and God did that. Lord, we thank you for providing the ultimate blessing through this covenant with Abraham, through his people, is Jesus Christ. And we thank you for providing him. We thank you for orchestrating the cross. And we thank you that death itself could not hold you. And because it can't hold you, it doesn't hold us either. We love you. Help us to walk boldly into the future with the assurance that you walk with us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare to close, I remind you that we're going to baptize Ryland. Man, we want to celebrate with that young man and his family. Also, if you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about, he knows you and he loves you. Come, don't leave this place. Come and visit with me before you leave today as we close.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. My chains were gone. My
may be seated. And Loudermilk family, y'all come on up. Rylan, will you separate over there, bud, on that last platform there, while mom and dad, well, mom and friends come up. Mom, sisters. Grandmas, grandpas, the whole crew. So, let me ask you a question, Rylan. Have you been excited this week?
Yes.
Yes, it's been. You're pumped, man. I can see. This is the way it should be, right here. Excited. Yeah. So, Rylan, we talked this week about this day, and this decision's been coming for a long time. And so we talked about some questions that I'd ask you. First of all, I want to ask you, do you admit that you are a sinner? And do you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin and to be your Lord and Savior and live in your heart?
Yes.
Amen. And you want to be baptized this morning?
Yes.
Okay, if you'll step right down there and sit on that ledge, me and Dad are going to grab you. If you'll sit down right there and hold your nose. Rylan, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Stay right there a second, buddy. That's exciting stuff, huh? Okay, if y'all can gather in here, if you can't put a hand on Rylan, put a hand on the person in front of you. We're going to pray. We talked to Rylan about the Holy Spirit and how God wants to come and live inside of you through His Holy Spirit. So let's pray that. Father, thank you for Rylan. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that you died for Rylan, and he has said yes to you. I pray, God, that you would fill him from the top of his head to the tip of his toe with your Holy Spirit, that he would be a new creation as your word promises. I pray for his family, God, that you would continue to mold them exactly into your likeness. I thank you for what they mean to you, what they mean to me and to this church. Lord, bless Rylan. And just empower him to be your vessel in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you'll rise for the benediction this morning. Is this on? Yeah. Y'all mind like my kids did growing up. Go and walk into the unknown with faith and not fear. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living word, and there's life in God's word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.